Hello, welcome to Holden Village. Today is July 7th. Today's session is entitled Drawing and Spirituality, presented by Al Rowell. Disc number ROA-2005-02.
I'd like to know the names of everybody since it's small. I do know some, but could you start?
I'm Sherilyn.
Sherilyn?
Uh-huh, rhymes with Carolyn.
Marilyn. Sherilyn.
Sherilyn.
Ruth.
And Mary.
Dale. Carmen.
Carmen. Carmen. Okay. And I'm Al Rail. And I'm beginning my session on spirituality and drawing at Holden. And I was thinking about, I've been to Holden for many, many years, and I work as an associate ministry in the Lutheran Church. I work as a chaplain in a nursing home assisted living situation. And the reason I thought about the laptop before I came is because it is a part of my ministry. Usually when you see a screen, you think of a non-denominational church or Baptist church where they have the screen up and they have everything going. But at our nursing home assisted living, I saw a need for people to be able to see music as well as images. And I put in an appeal one Christmas and got much more money than I even anticipated to get a projector and something that I can carry. So this is the norm at our nursing home when I do worship services on Sundays and on Wednesdays. So it is, for me, really comfortable, and hopefully for the residents, they can see it easily without fiddling around with a piece of paper, because many of them can't do that. I have a song up here to begin our time together, because I always think this is sacred time where we focus our hearts and minds on the God that lives within us and around us, and has led me, at least, into my ministry where I am. And hopefully you can learn a little bit about my ministry and a practice that I've done for over 20 years, which is drawing. I procrastinate a lot, and one time I always thought drawing was something I liked to do. But what I would do is I would do a drawing, and then a month later I would look at it and I wouldn't like it, and I wouldn't do it for another 3 months, and then I would do another one and I'd really like it, and I'd say I couldn't do anything better than that. So I would stop. And one of the things that has given me life over the years has been my daily prayer drawing. And they are all people that, at least for the most part, people that I have met at Holden. You'll see just today a small amount of people from Holden and from the nursing home that I've done on the screen. But about anywhere between 8:30 and midnight, I will do my daily drawing. I keep with me photographs of people that I've taken pictures of, and people that have meaning in my life. It's not that some people have meaning and some people don't. It's just that the profound meaning comes from the encounter of the people. And for some reason, that gives me a lot of joy. And it's just fun to try to get a likeness of the person. So when you see these, I don't know if you'll recognize any of them, unless you were here 2 years ago at Holden Village. But they are people, and I chose. I'm going to jump back to Spirit of the Living God. Fall Afresh on Me is a song that I continually use for bringing myself and the residents into God's presence, because oftentimes when I come into a unit or a group of people, I don't feel grounded. So I thought that I would begin with this. And right following after this is a prayer that I heard by Krister Stendahl. Christer Stindl is the bishop of Sweden, and he taught in this country for quite a while at a seminary that I can't remember. But I was so struck by this wonderful prayer that I thought it would be also a good way to begin our time together. So that's it. And I want the last part, we're going to move over to the Creekside Room and do a drawing exercise that I think will be a lot of fun and make us aware that we do have two parts of our brain, and that the right side of our brain is a very unique, gives us a very unique experience when we draw. So look forward to doing that. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. That's the first one, second one, third one. There you go. You may have to kill some more lights to see. Anyone know where that light is?
There's a switch right straight ahead over on the wall.
I think he tried those.
You tried that one?
Yeah, I can see it.
We can see it.
Oh, there we go. That's good. See, is it focused? Yeah, it is. The closer you get straight on, I think the better the view. This is a fellow who's up at Holden. He welcomed me when I came a couple of years ago, my wife and I and the kids. And I asked him what he did. His name is Asaph, and he fixes anything. And I was so fascinated with that. There's a little story about him. He went out fishing with us, and I broke my pole, and he says, "I'll fix the pole for you." So he put some glue to the pole, and he said, "It's all right, go ahead." And I went out first time to fish with it, and caught a fish, and it broke. I came back this year, walked onto the dock, and met him at the dock, and he said, "Well, I fixed your pole, and I'm using it." But he's a special person, and from a photograph that I took of him, I did this. And it's done with colored pencils that are water soluble, and it's interesting to see it so large. I've never seen sketches that big. So, amazing what technology can do. Next one. This is my friend Mark, who for one summer here at Holden, we always hold this pair of lips around. And he's a Native American. And formerly a homeless person and now recognized by the Lutheran Church as a representative to our national gatherings, and quite a wonderful, wonderful fellow and a good friend of mine. He also makes pine needle baskets, which you may even find in some of your rooms. I know we have one in our chalet. But I took this at the bus, of course, when he was saying goodbye. As memory fades, I can recognize these faces, but I don't know the names. But again, a couple of people just waiting to see the bus off, or just standing out in the road there. Joshua is he wrote the theme song for Holden a couple of years ago, and is a street musician who came to Holden, and then later on went and worked in a community in Washington, D.C., and I believe that he's supposed to be back here at Holden. He came back today. But a wonderful folk singer. He's got a little CD in the bookstore, and I like his songs. He sings songs about Holden.
And peace and justice.
And peace and justice, right, yeah. And there's a guy I was playing with a number of nights ago, our potter, Gary, and also a guitar player, and a couple of people in the back. I kind of like the backs of heads of people and just the personalities that I can get from kind of a suggestion. And of course, just the darkness of the building behind him. I like working with color. And when I get done with these, they give me joy. And I believe that the love and joy comes from God and also comes from the people that touched my life. This is Eileen. She, for many years, she's here. She worked in the sewing room, and now she was telling me this year that the sewing room is closed down, and she needs to work in the crafts area. But she's kind of upset about that. She misses that. She had so many kids coming down making pillows when I was here, and I just really enjoy her. She lives in Arizona now, too, in Sun City, and enjoys the community down there. This fellow is name is Jim Scholl. He's a Lutheran pastor. Right when he retired from ministry from Bethel Lutheran Church in Shoreline, had a terrible accident, car accident, which left him paralyzed from about shoulders down. And he was at Holden a couple of years ago, and I took this picture of him. And he's now the person that's filling in for me at Foss Woman Village last Sunday and this Sunday, and giving the message to the folks there. And I'm just really pleased. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. And, to be able to come back after that setback. I know his first sermon was Broken Dreams, so I can imagine what he would say. Again, a gift of God, Jim Scholl. And I did a sketch of him from that one, which will show you how the process from photograph to drawing. That's it. Drawing is always a little bit different. I emphasize things. I'm not a detailed artist, but I try to get expressions and characters and crop it a little bit different. And another thing, as I show these things, notice the art at Holden. I mean, there's so much here. Whenever I come into this particular building here, there's the Tree of Life painting up here that was done by Kristen, who's the artist who's been here many, many years. And even those silk screens on the windows and up above in the hotel, there's some oil paintings of different places around Holden. There's art around here, and it's really a blessing. Next. As you know, I'm the spiritual director, and I happen to have a person with me, journey with me for about 9 months on a retreat in daily life, and she was an artist, and they matched me up with her. And she went out in the garden to do painting. She was an artist. She did paintings of what she found in the garden, and she wrote a journal about Sabbath, and you can read that. That was her thoughts and her prayers about Sabbath. And I used it for a sermon one time. I said that you'll be in my sermon. You're going to do the sermon today for me. And I would read it for the residents. If they couldn't read it, I would just go through and read sections of it. But she struggles with Sabbath. She's like all of us do. One of the reasons for a spiritual direction is that at least we make an appointment with someone who will hold us accountable to our time that we spend with God. And this is one of the ways that she discovered that really gave her life. And I just wanted to focus on another artist that through their art they pray. I have another piece here. And I like the words, God reveals himself to us in the tiniest details. Sometimes that means we have to stop and get down on our hands and knees, or we miss the little secrets. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you don't know. Next, I think there's one more. These are watercolors also, and just very small sheets. She had them all in a little notebook type folder. Okay? Now this is my transition to Foss home drawings, and I think of some of the cartoonists who use the art of drawing to make a message, and Peanuts was around for a long, long time, and here is Peanuts making this huge sandcastle on the beach. I used this when I preached one morning about this story. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does not will be like a wise does them will be like a man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Next one. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. And here's Linus, of course, looking at the raindrops coming down, who built his house upon the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat against that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. And he says, there's just all that's left is puddles. He says, there's a lesson to be learned here somewhere, but I don't know what it is. I came to Foss Home because of a loss of job. I lost my position at a University Lutheran Church where I was for 12 years. They ran out of funds for another full-time person. And they offered to me a three-quarter time year. And I took a full-time year and a half-time year as a bargain for the next year instead of the three-quarter time year. By the end of the full half year, I had a job at Foss Home, and this is from my commissioning service. Gloria there on the left is the president of the residence council. She's a wonderful lady, although she hoards things. And they have a problem with her hoarding things. But she will lead the Bible study. She will always ask me good questions. And she plays the piano for preludes at the home. And her son is in the background there, and that's me on the right. We have people that work with activities at the home. These are two of the activity directors. The one on the right, Eldred, is from Norway. And Kim is from Vietnam. And they're just such caring, wonderful people to give these residents opportunities to use different muscles and their brains and their give them, you know, the kinds of activities that really help them to thrive at Frost. My mother lives at Frost. She's 99 years old, and this is a picture of her in her chair. She doesn't have gray hair yet. Still waiting. But she'll be 100 years old in March 2006. And I see her usually at the end of every day. She has dementia, so she doesn't remember the immediate things I say, so I have to say things over and over again. But I'm so used to that working in the home that it doesn't bother me. This is another resident who is 103, will be 104 in the month of October. And in the middle of any kind of activity, worship service, she will raise her hand and say, "When are you coming back?" She also is the only resident that gives me a little bag of chocolates that she wins in the bingo games that she plays. Here are two people that passed away and I had a good relationship with. This fellow, Harold, had such a good attitude, and his family I got to know really well. And I did a memorial service at the home for him, and then he also had a memorial service at his church. And I gave them this sketch. This is a copy of that sketch in a frame for a gift for that memorial service. And it was just a joy because I had gotten to know these people very quickly in a time when there was a need for love and care in the grieving for Harold. But yet there was joy in that too. And he was the first resident that I gave a service for in the New Lutheran Occasional Worship Services. There's a service for people when they get taken off life support. So they gathered around and we did this wonderful little service. It was great. Marge was another fantastic lady who lived in the assisted living. Very few people walked the streets or, you know, away from the home, but she was one that I would see occasionally walking on the streets and just a ball of energy. She would always walk over for the worship services, my services, and enjoy them. She lived a wonderful, rich life, loved flowers and loved people, and again had a wonderful family. And I did the memorial service for her in a small church where she grew up, and I will never forget that. There's so many memories in these sketches for me that it really is a way for me to process my grief and also to give to those who remember these loved ones. So I'm almost done with the first part here. One of the prayers that we pray for our midweek service is this one. And we finished with a song, but I wanted you to read this because this is what I encourage for people, even in the state that they're in. So it's an anonymous prayer, but read it with me. There'll be one more slide on it. Lord, when I am famished, give me someone who needs food. When I am thirsty, send me someone who needs water. When I am cold, bring me someone to warm. When I am hurting, send me someone to console. When my cross becomes heavy, give me another's cross to share. When I am poor, lead someone needy to me. When I have no time, give me someone to help for a moment. When I am humiliated, give me someone to praise. When I am discouraged, send me someone to encourage. When I need another's understanding, give me someone who needs mine. When I need someone to take care of me, send me someone to care for. When I dwell upon myself, turn my heart toward another. And the song on the next and last slide is from our new worship book, hymn book. It's a renewing worship. Anybody familiar with this? I'll sing the first verse and then you can join me on the second. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Let's sing the first one again. Will you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. Before we move into the next room, any comments or questions that you have to me about this ministry of drawing, music, prayer?
How long do you take each day when you do your drawings?
Anywhere from 5 minutes to an hour. Probably not over an hour, probably not less than 5 minutes, but some are just like really little thumbnails. You know, when you saw a drawing that had three faces or three figures, that was 3 days, usually. So that way, I'm easy on, you know, it's in some ways you think, well, it's a lot of things to put on yourself, but if I draw just a little bit, it's worth it. And next night I'll feel much more focused, much more invited into the, you know, the person that I'm drawing or the animal. I draw animals too. I also have, you know, when we move over to the other room, I draw just a sketchbook too that you can look through. This is the recent one that I've done. But and some are horrible, you know. I mean, I can really tell that I don't have any concentration and. I also have a difficulty drawing accurately because I don't see accurately. I see with one eye at a time, and my brain compensates. It's a condition, an eye condition that I've had since birth. So it's not easy for me, but it doesn't bother me. The drawing, the love of drawing is beyond that for me. So.
Women, how did you get started?
Well, it was a disappointment that I didn't draw more, and I would procrastinate, put it off. It's the classic, I'm too busy to do that.
So you were drawing in high school?
Yeah, I've drawn ever since I was a little kid, of course, but I've never set aside, my project was to do it for a year, to see if I could do it for a year. And once it was done for a year, I just continued for about 3 years, and then I quit, and then after a year again, I started up again, and I never quit. So.
You commented about going through the part where you draw something and you look back on it later and not be happy with it and then not draw again. How did you get beyond that to drawing? Because that's kind of where I'm at. It's like, I have brought my sketching stuff to Holden. I've been here 3 days. I've taken it with me a couple places, and I have yet to open it up. It's like, well, I'm going to be frustrated. It's not going to turn out the way I want it.
Yeah, I guess it was the challenge that really made me do that. And one of the places that I began drawing was at Holden. And I don't even know if I would have the courage to show people the first drawings I did at Holden. I mean, they were just people that I would sit in lectures and I would draw. And people, what I think, Ruth, what really did is that people would look at them and they would encourage me. And I think that's what kind of pushed me to say, oh yeah, I can do this. And, I'll get better as I keep drawing. And I go back through these stacks of portraits, and I find certain periods of my life that I've drawn better than other periods. I go through periods of difficulty, and if your life is more chaotic, or if I draw at midnight, it's not going to be very good. I did last night, I can show you. I like colored pencils that are water soluble because I can put clear water over them and have like one drawing and then I can enrich it. And it's always a surprise because you can't really make a mistake with clear water. But that's a good question. How do you start? I guess you just start. And at least you have a drawing and or a painting. And if you do have it, show it to somebody, at least that you trust. And at least that you get some comment about it. That's what I would suggest. Because we're so hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Al, will we have time in 20 minutes to do the exercise?
Oh, yeah. Let's move over to the other room. And
I'm eager to do that.
Yeah.